and we'll be in the second hour, the second hour of, and this is our third week together. This is our third week, and you will have the archives up in about a day. If you want the immediate archives, go to Blog Talk, and within the same evening, you'll have the archives up. But because when we record these separately, the quality of sounds a little better on the archives. So, or if you just want to have them, or you want to make discs, you know, a CD and have them to give it to others or whatever, do that. So, we are simply in, we are in week number three. And if you're looking in the workbook alone, we are dealing with that one session that we're carrying over, the five A's in spiritual warfare. And let me tell you that we're going to talk in this hour here, less than an hour left, authority in action. Next week, next Monday night, we'll begin with victory in spiritual warfare, the first hour. And then if we get to a second, spiritual warfare on three fronts. But tonight, for the second hour here of this third week that we're into, is authority in Christ. And this is so vital to me. And it's a burden to me in the sense, this is a burden in the sense. When I think in terms of the authority of Christ that I read about in Luke's Gospel chapter 10, and again, if you want to point yourself there, because that's the chapter I think is so vastly, I mean, it is one of the best chapters. It just begins with pray to the Lord of the harvest that he sends out workers. I mean, this is, you know, he's sending out laborers. He's sending out workers. And then we're to pray for that, you know, the laborers to be sent. Wherever you're living, You're praying for other laborers to come in, and maybe you're going to launch a group that's going to be involved in evangelism and prayer and putting all these things into practice in that way. But I want you to go down in Luke's Gospel chapter 10, if you want to go down and look at verses, because here's where he sends out 72, verse 17, and the 70, some say 72, returned again with joy. Notice this. They went out to unleash the gospel, pray for the sick, and to cast out demons. He sent them to cast out demons. Look how they returned. Circle the word joy. In the context of spiritual warfare, where they won, where there was a winning, they had joy. Mark down right there where the word joy is. Mark down Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. You know why? Luke's Gospel chapter 10, down there all the way to verse 17. The disciples who've been sent out to witness and unleash the gospel of the kingdom, to pray for people for healing and to deal with demonic stuff, he gave them authority. They returned from doing that with joy. On the field, that's why I love going on the field. Out there praying, witnessing and trying to win people to Christ, praying for their needs, engaging anyone with demonic stuff, praying that off of them, we return with joy. So if you mark down right there, Acts chapter 8, when Philip then goes into the town of Samaria, highly demonized, highly controlled by demonic stuff, he unleashes the gospel of the kingdom, prays for people to be healed, and demons are cast out of people. The end of the story of Philip going into Samaria is this. The city was full of joy. Salvation of lives brings great joy in heaven and on earth of us. Hey, people getting healed. I have never seen in all the years anybody that got healed directly by Jesus ever be depressed. There's joy. There's joy in salvation. I've never led a person to Christ in 38 years, not only did heaven rejoice, but that I did not have joy of their salvation for their sake. Revival strike when many people get saved, healed, and delivered. Guess what? It's clear. Great joy comes with that. People get healed. Great joy comes with that. Notice what happens when people get delivered from demons. I've seen it all through. Joy. Like a deep wooden piece of splinter into your skin gets pulled out. There's relief, but spiritually there's even joy. So I want you to know, doing what Jesus does, man, is it awesome. Man, is there joy. Yes, there's battle at times. Yes, there's people that don't want to listen. Yes, there's people that reject Jesus. And there's times to, like Jesus, weep. And there's times to, you know, I feel bad when people don't get saved. It's sad. It really is. But when we get out there in the Holy Spirit and the joy of the Lord and witness to people and tell them that God loves them, that Christ has come, they can be saved. When they have demons and we command them to get out and they're freed. Let me tell you a story. Let me give you a story really quick. We're on the page in your blue notebook where it says authority on that page. On my notebook, yours, there's two notebooks, but they're the same. The page numbers got different, are different though. I'm on page 11, but authority, the meaning of it. It has everything to do with dealing with the dark side. Authority, it has everything. It's not the same word as dunamis in the sense that, this is, exousia. This is the right, the authority. We've been given it. So power is the power of the Holy Spirit, but authority is the right that you and I have, to do what? We're going to find out here in a second. It has everything to do with crushing, bringing destruction to demons, demonic powers, and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Now, if you know this verse, it should give you great confidence, okay? But take a look at verse 17. Disciples went out. They were out there doing, and I would say this way, evangelizing and doing healing and then deliverance, casting out demons. They came back with joy. And here's what they said. Even the devils, okay, and that word we'll give you here in a second. Even the devils, what happens? They submit to us in your name, okay? It's the Greek word daimonia, the demons. Even these demons submit to us. That's what happens when we go out with the authority of Christ. You know what I told people yesterday, and I've been doing deliverance for 35, 36, 37 years. Brand new people that didn't even know about authority, when I lead them to this chapter and say, well, let's just pray and accept. I acknowledge. I accept Jesus, the authority you've given me. Every believer has the same authority. You've been given authority from Jesus. But there's a mission to it, but we all have it. Whether you've used it or not, whether you even knew you had it or not. See, when we get saved, there's a lot of things we need to know. There's a lot of things we need to know. So that's what growing in discipleship and growing in grace and knowledge is all about, and growing stronger is all about. So when faithful pastors and leaders teach believers, and if you're a disciple or if you lead somebody to Christ and you're discipling them now, you know, and you teach them this out of Luke 10, and then you involve them in going out to witness and pray for sick people, and then anything demonic, you, in the name of Jesus, you know, you cast it out, you come against it. And these disciples, you will say what they said, the demons submit to us in your name. The demons will submit to you in the name of Jesus. If you're a believer and Christ dwells in you, you've been given authority. And I want to stress this because 90% of the people, when I went to all these conferences as Christians, how many here know you have your authority? 90% did not. Which also means they can't use it. They're not using what they haven't appropriated. This is vital. You don't have to do crazy things. You don't have to wear a robe. You don't have to read a book. You don't have to throw salt. You don't have to use salt, holy water. You don't. None of that stuff has anything to do with what we see here, deliverance. A question is thrown in. Russ, do you need to say Jesus of Nazareth? No, you can. If you're a believer, you have the right to use his name. You're using his name who dwells in you, who has given you authority to do so. In the name of, look again at the example. I'm going to give you the example of Acts 16 and Acts 19, when we literally see Paul just simply turn around and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, get out. He cast a demon out of a girl that was predicting, you know, the future with his demon power. He got so agitated where he turned around and just, in the name of Jesus, he cast the demon out in the name of Jesus Christ. So you can say in the name of Jesus Christ, you can say in the name of Jesus, you know, I've probably said more than all along in the name of Jesus. Yes, I've said, you know, Yahweh stands here in the middle of dealing with demons and people. There's times I've, you know, said, Jesu Christu. None of that mattered. I mean, to say the name Jesus, don't let anybody steal that from you to say, oh, well, you got to say it this way. You got to, you know, and you don't have to be dramatic. You know, you don't have to stretch out Jesus's name. You know, like on television, you see someone say, in the name of Jesus, you know, don't do things like that. There's no reason for that. You know, if you have somebody manifesting a demon and you start reading scripture, they'll get mad. They don't like that. It's like a hammer hitting them. That's true. But that's not ultimate deliverance. If you have a demon manifesting in a possessed person and you start and you praise God, good. They don't like that. They don't like that. But how do you deal with them? How do you stop them from playing any game and throwing a person down or harming? Command them. Order them. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus. If you want to say in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, that's fine. I've heard people, in the name of Jesus and by the blood of the Lamb, fine. You don't have to say the blood of the Lamb. I've heard people say, by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the, and they'll say it like 15 times, as if by repeating it, it's more powerful. None of that's true. Look how Jesus did it here and how he taught. Look how it was done. Look how in Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 19, how deliverance was done. Just the same way. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ. We don't have to give explanation to demons. I am a Christian and my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life and I have authority over you and I trust in Psalm 91. That's all fine to say, but you don't have to. Okay. I'm just trying to make it easy for you because I've tried to read, you know, 300, 400 volumes on all the subjects over the years. I feel like I needed to learn as much as I could because more's coming. Massive, massive. More people possessed, more people demonized than ever's coming. And we're also going to see people that are so possessed and so demonized because they want to be that they're going to challenge Christians. The demonized people will come into the church with their power to challenge. That's happened. It will happen more and more in your schools, in your workplace, in your neighborhoods, more and more because so much of the doors are open. So I'm just going to mention to you out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, when Jesus simply just tells them, you know, he sends them out after giving them authority. They're out there sharing, again, the gospel of the kingdom, calling to repentance. They are praying for the healing. They are commanding demons. So verse 17, they return with joy. You will return with joy the more you do the work, evangelizing, healing, deliverance. And then saying, Lord, even the demons, daimonoi is the Greek word, are subject. They're under the authority through your name. Well, that's true. That's exactly what this is all about. Now, verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. This concept of his fall. The arrival of Jesus, if you mark down there 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. That's why Satan tried to coordinate killing him before he was two. All the babies, remember? Rachel weeping for the children. All those babies were being killed to try to wipe Jesus out. Didn't work. And so the victory of his coming involves he has come to destroy Satan's work. He has come. His very presence forced manifestation of demons. They feared him. They tremble. Look at Mark's Gospel 5. And I tell you, and I encourage you, as part of your homework this week, take the Gospel of Mark and look how Jesus does deliverance and look how we see it in the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 1 begins with him preaching, unleashing the good news and salvation. doing deliverance and then doing healing. Salvation, deliverance, and healing in chapter 1. That's what he's all about. That's what the rest of the Gospel of Mark's all about. And guess what? If you and I are going to be clothed in the power of the Holy Spirit, sent out to win the world to Christ, it involves also praying for those who need healing and commanding demons out. That's the norm. It is so simple to teach and train believers to do this because that's what God has set all of this up. All of this up. That's vital. When we just do what Jesus said in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, what are we supposed to do? Here's what Jesus said. You know, go into all the world, make disciples. That involves getting people saved and getting them into the learning process. Baptize them. We had 5 people baptized in Chicago over the weekend. Joy, great joy was there as we baptized all these folks. Baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. And then look what he says. Teaching them. It's 2 Greek words in the original. Teaching them to obey. That means to put into practice everything that I told you to do. Teaching them to put into practice every single thing I told you to do. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Right? That's how we're to do it. That's what will work. Jesus will be the exact same there in your life where you are in Canada, Australia, anywhere around the world, here in America, no matter in the inner city, the outer city, in the next to the bar. I don't care where you are. He'll be the same. He'll be the same. Same power, same Jesus. Can I say to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus saved you, John chapter 15, that you can go and bear fruit. You're to be given by the joy of God to give you the power of the Holy Spirit to go out there and win souls to Jesus. Pray for the sick. Cast out demons. Don't wait for any of those who are dried up and deaded out and backslidden and theologically screwed up. Be obedient to Christ. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. And if you put my word in practice, my Father and I will make our home in you. We'll make our home in you. You ever read, John's Gospel 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. What deep, deep, simple teaching. You want to get it right? Those chapters. Living for Jesus is not as hard as you think. Unless you're trying to do, you know, it on your own. That's why Jesus says in John 15, if you love me, you'll obey my teaching is the premise for the context of the chapters. But in John 15, if you abide in him and his word abides in you, ask whatever you wish, it'll be given you. This is to the Father's glory, demonstrating that you're a disciple of Jesus. How do you remain, abide in the love of Jesus? Obedience. Obedience. Just stay obedient. You want to win. Anybody that stays obedient to Scripture will be able to win souls. Wide open to the full blazing power of the Holy Spirit. A real believer that's walking in obedience, that's all they were. You want to be on fire every day? You want to become like they did in the book of Acts, to where they kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger, to where nobody could stop them? Obedience. I accept the authority, Jesus, you have given. I receive that authority. I acknowledge that. I'm glad. You know why? The more I understood that, the more I knew how to just clear the air around me, having spiritual awareness and alertness and so forth, to know what's going on. I can preempt what's going on. I can ask the Spirit of God, what's happening? Before I go into a deliverance meeting, before I go to a conference, to say, Lord, what's going on? What I need? I'm going to pray for people to get saved, healed, delivered, and so forth. But also, I'm going to pray against. I have authority. I'm going to pray against the enemy operative, in any way in Chicago. I'm going to pray against any demon guiding somebody to bring some harm. I'm going to pray against any demonic stuff coming against my family. Do you realize that you can preempt a lot of things? So this is the vital thing. We're going point by point on that page on authority Look again under point B. It is authority over demons, over the whole structure of demons. When Jesus says, "Behold, I give unto you power," the Greek word, exousia, that's authority. It should, and I'm just saying, we should accept that, and that's translated. The Greek word is simply authority. Exousia, as you kind of say it in English, but it's exousia, authority. And the idea is to tread, trample. Now, if you sit back, and I'm going to say for every believer right here, no matter who you are, and let's just acknowledge it together. Lord Jesus, I accept. I did this in Chicago with folks, the whole crowd. Lord Jesus, I accept right here. I accept the authority you've given me. I accept this authority you're giving me in Jesus' name. Now, let me ask you, do you accept the job that comes with it? Do you accept what you're supposed to do? Don't just accept the authority to say, okay, I've got authority. I have authority of Christ. He's given me authority. I've got that. Okay, I got it. You got it. I don't care if you're 12. If you're a believer born again of the Spirit of God in Christ, you have been given this authority. I have given you, perfect, I have given you authority. But what for? To trample, tread, crush on serpents and scorpions. Those are just the images, in a sense, of the idea of giving us a picture of the poisonous aspects of the demonic. You're given that with the job to tread on them. You're supposed to tread on them. You're supposed to crush them. Look what it says next. And overcome all the power of the enemy. Does the enemy have power? Yes, but this is overcome, overcome over all the power. That's Nike. That's the idea that you have decisive victory, triumphant victory over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Those are the words of Christ. If you're going to trust anybody, trust in the context of spiritual warfare, trust the words of Jesus. Those are the words of Christ. I have given to you authority to trample, tread, crush the demonic realm, whoever they are, and over all the power of the enemy. People ask, well, does that mean the principalities and the powers in the sky? Exactly. That which is warring against you, this authority is not like limited to some demon just on the curbside over here. In Ephesians, our battle is against all those beings and from the demonic realm, but the authority is given to trash them, to trample them, to crush them, to tread on them, and overcome and be over all of the power of the work of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Lock that scripture in. Take that scripture down. Stand on that scripture. I know it's weird when a demon manifests in a person and they start speaking through them. They always want to bring fear and blaspheming God and cuss and I'll get you and all the rest. Here's what I do, because we have the right to order them. Shut up in the name of Jesus. Stop that. You won't throw them down. You will not make them puke. So demons sometimes want to make people run, throw up, cause harm. They know who you are as a real believer. But I just simply do that. I don't get in front of them and say, you know, again, I don't say, by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, and do that 1,000 times. I don't, you know, sometimes in big heavy-duty cases, we have other believers that come in. They're reading scripture and praising God and praying. But when I'm dealing direct, and just like Jesus taught, and just like the disciples did, and just like Paul did later in the book of Acts, exactly like this, because you have authority, full authority, crush them, order them, stop it, get out. You'll all get out. How many are in there? I command you in the name of Jesus, speak, rely on the Spirit of God. Now, I will have special teaching in engaging the demonic this way, engaging demons in people, engaging demons on objects, engaging demons in a room that might have, a ritual might have been done there, engaging demons in an area, a territorial area where you feel that presence around you. Same thing, authority. It's about, I have authority. Can you imagine? Listen, this is so important. Say on, you know, whenever you meet, Saturday, Sunday, on Sunday you're gathering together. Say if 1,000 believers are gathering together. And they're worshiping and praising God and worshiping and praising God. And then they move into prayer. And the pastors and leaders, they're leading them to pray for the city in salvation, praying for revival to strike the whole city, praying for all the other churches, praying for God's healing and grace to come. But then, Lord, we acknowledge the authority you've given us. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke the powers of darkness. Lord, we're praying against all the demons and all the spirits working in lives. And then all of a sudden, with authority, pray against. I can almost tell you, out of 500 churches in Akron, that doesn't happen at all. When 500 churches are gathering on Sunday morning, the average is 12, 18 seconds of prayer, thanking God for the opening of the service, the offering, and the closing of the service. Sickening, pitiful, powerless. When it could be, whether it's like when we had a meeting here the other night, people are begging us to start a house church. So we have a meeting. We're not calling it a house church yet, but we're meeting here. And so we gather together, we're singing and worshiping, and then we're standing up and we're praying. We're unleashing intercession for a lot of different things for each other. And then in the name of Jesus, we are rebuking. Rebuking because we acknowledge. So we're praying for the advance of the kingdom and against Satan's work and dominion, targeting and praying against. We've been given authority. We've been given the power to pray. Why are we not broadly using that? In my life, I've learned that I can kind of clear the air around me. There is authority given to all and authority given as a mission. It is our responsibility, the church's responsibility, to use that authority to crush the demonic realm, to overcome all the power of the enemy. We're supposed to use that. And we're hardly not even being taught. I don't want to go into that for a long time, but because you're here to learn and you're here to acknowledge that. I probably think every one of you probably realize that. Everyone listening to this and all those, you know, later, you know, if you have stood as a believer to say, okay, I accept this authority. This is the word of God. This is the chapter you're reading. This is the word of God. Paul did exactly what was done here in Luke 10, what we see here. He did that exactly. So did Philip in Acts chapter 8. He was not an apostle. He was a second-generation Christian. And because probably his discipleship was good because he got in the Word and got into, you know, obedience and accepted the authority, as Paul did later on, that's all there was. Philip in Samaria, Acts 8. Paul later on, you know, with that girl that had the demon that was following them around, mocking them, and he just turned around and he spoke to the demon. He didn't speak to the woman. He spoke to the demon. Because it was manifesting. In the name of Jesus Christ, get out. You know, he commanded. Just like Jesus did. That's all. That's awesome. And man, I tell you, when, there you go. Exactly. Now, we've got, I think, probably tonight in this class time, we only have 16 minutes left. And I know I got some more on this page to give you and some of the action points, but throw up any questions you want inside the chat room, and we'll acknowledge those if we can, and we will continue here. If you got the workbook, then if you go down that same page on authority, how do I appropriate? How do I do that? Because I've led people all over the place. It's this simple. If you're a believer, you're born again. And you know, you're saved. You look at Luke's Gospel 10, and I've led teenage Christians, I mean, all over, in churches, on the, you know, people going out, just simply this. How do you appropriate that? Lord, I accept what you say you've given us. I accept the authority. That's all. I accept by faith. Even if you've never done deliverance, but this authority doesn't have to be just when demons manifest. This authority I've found can be used in every aspect of spiritual warfare. I have authority to trample, crush, bring destruction to the demonic realm, to overcome with victory all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm me, Jesus says. Now, again, the examples I give you is Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, if you've not gone there, if you want to, you can go to Acts chapter 16 and see how things were done there. Acts chapter 8, where Philip, as I already mentioned, he goes in to that town that is just inundated with the demonic, But if you go to Acts 16, and I'll read it to you, verse 18, when this woman that's demonized with the power to predict, she had abilities from a real demon, she kept going around and she was really, you know, doing this as a counterfeit and maybe even mockingly. She did this for many days. Paul became so bothered, troubled. The Greek word has the idea of he was so agitated. I think demonic manifestation does bring an agitation. And he turned around and said to the, Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the Spirit left her. That's all. You know, now I'll give teaching down the road. Sometimes when you do deliverance, it seems like a demon's hanging on. Or maybe a person doesn't want it to leave. Maybe a person's not willing to give up. You know, maybe there's 50 demons under one leading, you know, keep expressing the authority of Christ over all the power, all the power, all the power, all the power. I don't care if they got 50 demons in them, all the power. You have authority over all of them in the name of Jesus Christ. That's vital. That is so astounding. And the body of Christ can do so much. I would ask every pastor and leader, listen, lead your church in massive intercession during the gatherings. Don't turn it into some weak spectator, you know, powerless nothing that everybody forgets about and is bored with. In the real body of Christ, Acts 4, they raised their voices together to God in prayer. They were astoundingly great. The power of God was there. They were active. I mean, that was a place you wanted to be a part of. Where God is at work, God is, you know, he says, well, we teach the Bible. Oh, that's praise God. Teach the Bible, pour out the massive intercession, use authority against the enemy in prayer, get people saved, healed, delivered, giftings, workings, love one another, feed them, you know, give clothing, all of it expresses the power and grace and mercy of what the body of Christ is all about. Vital, vital for us all. Vital, very important. Last few things on this page I got to give you. How to extend the authority. Now, I have authority in Christ. You have authority in Christ. And here, what do you do with it? If you understand, sit back and think on this a little bit from the scriptures, Luke 10. Jesus Christ has given me authority to trample, trash, and overcome all the demons, to overcome all the power of the enemy and nothing will harm me. Okay? So under G on the bottom of that page, here's why I say, do it for yourself. I'm going to clear the air around me. I'm going to rebuke anything of the enemy coming any way around me. I'm going to preempt. I'm going to, you know, so in my daily worship and prayers and intercession, there's times I'll just say in the name, you know, especially if I feel anything. And I can tell you now, as compared to 20 years ago, there's so much more consistent sense of victory, clothing of God's presence and everything around me. And when the devil hits, how are you supposed to hit? Hit back harder. If the devil's striking, hit back harder. Now, you know, have the armor of God on, but now you got authority. Stop it. I command you, get out of here. Ultimately, in battles, you seek the Lord and ask the Lord to deliver you and ask the Lord. Lord Jesus, go after the enemy. Lord, crush the enemy's work. I pray over my city, you know, where I live. When we take our trips, when we go to cities and areas and places, you know, we pray for the lost. We pray for the churches. We pray to find victims of ritual abuse. We're praying all of extend and advance the cause of Christ, but then with authority. I accept the authority. I pray against demons and the work of the enemy against my family members, my household. When I gather with the church, whether on Saturday night or Sunday, I gather, and guess what I do? I'm worshiping, praising, doing all the rest, but I'm in there. I rebuke any powers of the enemy. I pray against the enemy coming against the pastor, the preaching the word. I pray against the enemy. Even if they don't, they should. I wish every church would do this, because they would just express such, you know, things. People can be released. It's bad enough to have oppression, let alone anything really attacking or any thing that has been opened up, you know. So I'm praying, and I'm in a service, and I'm saying, Lord, is there anything the enemy's doing? And if the Lord gives me a heads up, I'm gonna, by the authority of Jesus, go against it. Ask the Lord to crush it, rebuke it. Target what I know. Now, that's where we get into Shatter's work, where we target covens. We target where they're doing rituals, where they're summoning demons, where I know that they are summoning demons and sending them against churches or pastors, or doing channeling at meetings, or a psychic fair with people doing whatever. I walked into an occult bookstore, psychic fair thing going on. All these people were talking about their energies and powers. So I'm with a big smile on my face. I'm walking through there. Others have already been in, other believers. And I'm just praying, Lord, I pray against all demons. I command you, get out of here. I bind your work. I'm just walking through the store, looking like I'm looking at things, but I'm unleashing prayer. I'm telling you the truth within 10 minutes. Psychics and trance mediums and others shutting down their tables, clothing things down. It's like their spiritual atmosphere went confused. And I want you to know something. I would do that. And if some manifestation occurred, I'd go after it. I don't care about getting kicked out, because I'll preach, I want to share the gospel. If someone all of a sudden manifests a demon, I say, stop it in the name of Jesus. Come out of them, or command them, who are you? How'd you get in? How have you been deceiving this person under the authority of Jesus? Speak and tell. And if that demon, sometimes a demon will speak like that, and then get out and in front of everybody. Many times when even lost people see a demon do that and get kicked out by the authority of Jesus, and then you turn and preach the gospel to them, they get saved pretty quick. Not always, but that's, again, proclaim the gospel in the context of that deliverance. Target what the Holy Spirit gives you. He's the one that has the strategy. Just simply do this. Holy Spirit of God, in the midst of your praying, Holy Spirit of God, how can I use the authority you've given me? Is there anything I need to target? Do I need to gather some Christians to target a ritual spot? Bohemian Grove. You know, we have a couple hundred people praying against the rituals there, praying for victims to get out, praying that God will bring down that ancient high place, that owl. You could join us. We have authority. Did you know I'm going to just say this. I know some folks are going to be there next July, right when they do the ritual. And I'm going to tell you what, through May, June, and July, we're going to be asking for 1,000 or more Christians, as many as possible, to be praying that God will bring whatever, I don't care if it's an earthquake, bring down the owl, crush that area, pray against the spirits. They're going to summon demons to be put on leaders and presidents and senators and influence them. We're going to stand against that. And you'll hear that call go out with Project Josiah. And there's believers that are going to be there right when they do the cremation of care, on the outside anyway. Bohemian Grove in California. Look it up on the web. It is a high place where rituals have been done for over 100 and some years in America. Massive, where they've collected senators. I don't have time tonight to go into that. I got 3 minutes left. And we've got stuff on our website, shatterthedarkness.net. Right-hand side, scroll down a little bit, and you will see where it says... where it has the BC, the little owl. Click on that. It's kind of a crude, older website. I don't have the original, so I can't change anything. But that'll give you a lot. But a lot of victims have come from there. Sexual victims, ritual victims. And they're summoning demons and sending. Okay. Question comes in asking again, cutters possess. Well, cutters can be demonized in a sense. Some people are cutting because it takes the focus of their depression or hurt. This hurts more. This sharpens their focus away from what they've been thinking. They're thinking of the bad things in their life hurt them. So by cutting, it makes them focus over there instead of, but guess what? It doesn't solve the problem. It aggravates it and can even draw spirits, because ultimately demons love bloodletting. So not only do we need to renounce that, stop that, pray against that, ask Jesus for healing, we got to go to why the person's hurting. So if you command, in the name of Jesus, I command any demons leading this person who's cutting themselves, I stop it in the name, because that man in Mark 5 was doing that. He's cut himself. Demons can lead in that. So you can command and demons to get out of a person. If it's connected to abuses, then you got to get a person to receive and lead them to healing in Jesus, so that and if you are doing anything, even food, to feel good in the midst of your pain, taking a drug to feel good in the midst of your pain, you're not going to go to hell. I mean, somebody's asking the question here. As a believer, will I go to hell if maybe you're taking some pills, maybe you're eating food because you've got pain, you got issues, and instead of applying scripture and obeying scripture and yielding the scripture, to find Jesus is got everything you need, and the scripture's got everything you need. And all I can tell you is this, just you pursue him for all of it, inner healing, but you got to obey. You got to obey the Lord. You got to get up and obey the Lord, and you do things his way, you'll be blessed. You do it your way, you're going to run in circles. You're going to run around in circles. We are so close to the end of the show, I can't even believe it. We're down to 3 minutes tonight, and man, you've spent the last 2 hours. I have the privilege of spending 2 hours with you guys. I loved it in Chicago. I see people face-to-face. A lot of hugs, man. Man, this brother in Christ came named Lawson. He must have hugged me 15 times. He hugged me so many times, I told him to go get a free book off my table. he was so kind. A lot of hugs. So I'm sending hugs to you in the name of Jesus, because you know what? Jesus says to love one another as he's loved us, so that the world will know that we're his. And so our centrality, love one another as believers. Even if someone's not loving you back, that doesn't negate. You love them. You obey Jesus whether they do or not. Love the brethren. Love. You don't lose. I don't care. You don't lose in it. You be obedient to Jesus whether anybody else is or not. You'll be blessed. You're going to stay. You're going to grow. You're going to become strong. And wow, I can't wait. I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will go way beyond my abilities tonight, way beyond my, helping out here tonight. And let me tell you this too. The next page deals with action. And I'll just quickly mention that next week, but on to victory principles. I am I got joy in the Lord. I right here and sitting here, I just the felt presence of the living Christ, and the joy of the Lord is here, and I love it. So I'm going to tell you tonight that we're coming down to that last minute. I'm so grateful for you, and pray for one another. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless all those in the chat rooms, all those listening online, and by the hundreds and hundreds of those who are going to download and listen, all, Lord God, as they're doing it, as they're listening, may the Spirit of God guide them, your living presence being there. Give victories, give extraordinary healings and inner healings, and in the name of Jesus, we command demons, get out, crush, be broken, stop it, as we stand to put on all the armor of God, leave it on, submit to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you, draw near. You draw near, he's going to draw wonderfully near. Hey, he never left you. He loves you. He's the one that hung on the cross. He gave his life. He still gives all. He still gives all to you, Jesus Christ. Someday you're going to see him face to face. That is the final victory. Blessings in the name of Jesus. By the blood of the Lamb, if I can say it that way too.